whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ooh-wee.
There it is. That is Mr. Chris Arnold joining you here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Myself, Corey Majors, alongside Alec Medford, who is usually on the other side of the window, but today he is on this side, and y'all prepare to hear more of our good friend Alec Medford.
What?
He's done a really good job. Well, I mean, you're obviously with us tomorrow.
Oh, I am?
You're going to be on
all week long
again some point this week, and then on Friday when we're out at Buffalo Wild Wings, you'll be at Left Bank with us. Right now, though, it is time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider. It is Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Mickey, how are we doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? What's going on?
We are... I was asking the question, how much respect do you have for what the Cowboys did last night?
Well, a heck of a lot. Because... And by the way, and a heck of a lot of respect for those 93,000 people that were there,
yeah,
that actually were enthused by a game that had little meaning for playoff possibilities.
Yes.
I was shocked. First of all, I didn't think many would show up. Second of all, I figured they'd just be sitting there like they were at a funeral, right?
Yeah.
And
they were waving those white towels.
Yes,
they were going crazy.
Standing ovations. It was kind of neat to see.
They were on that eggnog,
season,
Mickey. They were on
right?
that eggnog.
Yeah, right? Maybe double shots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for real.
And then for this team to come out and play with such heart and, you know, just thinking winning no matter what was important. I thought it was heartwarming to watch because, frankly, after I saw not only Washington or, you know, Philadelphia not doing them a favor, right? But how it turned out, you know, losing the game with 6 seconds left to basically eliminate the Cowboys, I'm sitting there going, I'll just cover this from home. I don't need to go. This game doesn't mean anything. And then when you go and you see it meant a lot to Nick Vigil getting to start for the first time all year and finishing with 10 tackles, and it meant a lot to Leofau and Brandon Aubrey and on and on and on. And it was like, okay, you know, not to get too corny, but it was kind of heartwarming to see.
Mick, you mentioned it. The linebacker play last night, in my mind, was just fantastic. And that was without Eric Kendricks. You mentioned Nick Vigil. I thought he was awesome. Maris Taliaferro just continues to run around with his hair on fire. And surprisingly, this position has been one of their deeper positions on the roster this season. What did you see specifically from those two, Vigil and Taliaferro?
Yeah, and it had to be for the injuries that they had suffered. Think about Vigil. I don't know if he's practiced once in 3 weeks. He's had this foot injury, and it seems like every time we get an injury report, it's Vigil, DNP, 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 and then he plays. And it seems like that's what it's been for 3 weeks. And so, you know, he's figuring, okay, I didn't practice, but I'll do my special teams job, which, by the way, that he told me that block punt against Cincinnati was the first of his career. This is his ninth season, right? Hmm. And he plays special teams. So the fact that Kendricks tried to warm up and couldn't go, and it was like, okay, big boy, you're in. And he goes in and plays, you know, leads the team with 10 tackles. I think Leofau was second with 8. I thought that their ability to play the scheme, but also to help the Cowboys with that 6-man front to kind of hopefully confuse Mayfield or at least put pressure on him. And God bless him, he threw for 303 yards, and he was under distress most of the game,
yeah.
Right? I thought that was, you know, that was huge, not to mention how the secondary played. So when you kind of look at it, and I know what the, you know, the refrain is, oh, don't try to win. You got to have, you know, better draft choices. Well, I think what people forget is these are human beings playing. They're not commodities. It's not like you're trading stocks out there. And to that, I wish everybody could have been in the locker room afterwards to see a team that probably 4 hours before kickoff was, you know, totally depressed because they knew that their playoff aspirations had been eliminated by Washington winning their 10th game.
Is that real, Mickey? Like before the game or hours before they were hurt by all that?
Oh, I'm sure
okay.
they were.
Okay.
I mean, Vigil told me, he said, what a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, and I asked, you know, Cooper Beebe, when did you find out, you know, that, you know, this game wasn't going to mean anything for your playoff berth? And he said, I was on the bus coming in. Some other guys, some of them, I don't even know if they knew. And so McCarthy had to kind of judge the room. And he said he didn't see many guys outwardly talking about it. So he said, I decided not to make a big deal out of it, not to go, okay, we got nothing to play for, but boys, I really would like you to play, right? He said, I just decided not to address it whatsoever. And he said the only thing he changed before the game, or what they had planned going into the game, even though he knew they didn't have anything to play for a playoff spot, which, by the way, he said after that loss, after Philadelphia loss, he said, I had to sit there a moment and check myself, too, and reminded myself, hey, we're out here to play. We're out here to win. So the only thing he changed, and I think it was smart, their plan was if they won the toss, they were going to defer. And then he basically said, screw that. We're taking the ball and we're going to try to create some momentum and act like this is a big deal.
Oh.
And guess what? They did, right? Drove right down and kicked a field goal. And I think that that might have given everybody kind of a boost to say, all right, we're trying to win. We don't care about our draft position. Winning is important. And I think, you know, as Brandon Aubrey said, he goes, if you're playing a game, why would you not go out there and try to win? And so that's kind of, I think, what took place Sunday night.
Yeah, that's definitely the idea is, can exist of tanking, but trying to convince everybody else to do that job is always a little more difficult.
And think about how hurtful that Philadelphia loss was.
Yeah.
Because they knew they, you know, needed to win three and Washington needed to lose three. And the chances of that weren't very good, right? But it at least Philadelphia winning was right there, right? Devontae Smith, the sure-handed
receiver,
not only drops the first down pass, which could have been a touchdown, he dropped it a second time when he tried to double clutch it, right?
Yeah, he did.
And you see that happen, and it's like, okay. This ain't going to turn out well. I think what guys do, and I think they've been taught this, that when you're sitting there scoreboard watching, don't watch the other game because you'll get emotionally involved and you'll get drained before you actually have to go out and play. So it didn't sound like a whole lot of guys were sitting there on pins and needles, just watching the entire game. Guys know that Philadelphia got beat, but they didn't know how they got beat, right? Which was, you know, I mean, you talk about miracles in a game. That was unbelievable that Washington was able to win that game.
Yeah, that was right up to the way they beat the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and Chris, sorry. Think about this. They lose Jalen Hurts to a concussion, right? Mm-hmm. He's in concussion protocol. You think he's playing on Sunday?
Probably not.
So that would, you know, the Cowboys, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, they got to beat Philly at Philly. Well, Philadelphia lost a bunch of players, right? And including the quarterback. Kenny Pickett, I said, I don't remember this guy playing this year. Well, I went back and looked. He's thrown three passes all season, attempts, in seven snaps. That's it. And he had to go in and play and nearly pulled that thing off.
So for the players and the coaching staff, you know, with like you setting this thing up, this is probably their mindset going into the game last night. Okay, if Philadelphia loses, guess what? Washington has to play Atlanta. Atlanta might still be in the hunt. So we got, you know, they're playing well. Penix, I'm doing these theoreticals. And then the last game of the season, Cowboys versus Washington. We might pull off the miracle of all miracles.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they're thinking that afternoon.
So now it's, all right, let's go try to win. And then thinking, all right, now Philadelphia still hasn't clinched the NFC East. And they got to play without Hurts next Sunday. And the Cowboys got to be thinking, okay, well, we can be spoilers, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go out and try to win this game and, believe it or not, get to 8-8 if they were sitting there 3-7?
Yeah, they won 4 out of 5.
And, you know, McCarthy brought it up. It was a couple weeks ago. He was talking about, you know, how he thinks winning towards the end of a season after you've struggled has its benefits carrying over the next year. Who knows if there's anything to that. But his first year in Green Bay, they started off 1-4. They were 4-8, and they finished 8-8. And the next year, they went 14-2 and lost in the NFC title game.
They got better.
So he felt like there was some benefits winning games with that team, setting the culture. Now, who knows who's here next year, right, including the coaching staff? Who knows what's going to happen? But at least these young guys who've been forced to go in and play have something maybe to hang their hat. I mean, what if they get to 9-8?
You know, so while Mickey, you're saying this, and Micah was in, you know, I was talking to Micah in the locker room afterwards, and he was animated about this carries over, especially for young guys who have been through some adversity and know how not to quit, or been through some situations like this and they learn. In other words, it's like reps, but reps in a positive way, and they won't get in a bad situation no more. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's something to it.
He was animated really about this.
That's why I'm saying these are people. They're not trading stocks out there.
Before the season and for the past few years now, Mickey, I've just been very adamant that I just love the way Jordan Lewis plays the game. Would you mind?
Yeah.
I feel like he's a free agent after this year. Would you mind talking about like what he is to this team, his role, and how he's filled that?
Well, if they're watching, they got to figure out a way to get him back out here on the field. He's such a fighter. He plays with such passion. Somebody asked him, how did you develop that kind of attitude, the way you play the game? He said, I was always the smallest guy out there, and I had to play harder. And I learned to play, you know, fight and grind. And if you think about it, you know, when you're undersized, some of us know what it's like to be undersized, by the way.
Me
too.
You got to give it a little extra, right? I just think that Jerry Jones called that interception the greatest interception he'd ever seen.
It was awesome.
I'm going up, I'm seeing it, and I it's like, oh my God, what a touchdown catch, right?
He took it.
And he took it on the way down.
Yeah, with his hurt arm.
Yeah.
Yes, right?
With his bum arm.
And we forget about that. I had someone in the medical field tell me that the elbow injury he has, if he was a pitcher, he'd be out for the season. Now, good thing he doesn't have to throw the football.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He just got to catch it.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, you mentioned that. What about CeeDee Lamb?
That's another one.
How many times did you see you had to take a knee, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to tell me, you're going to tell that dude that, nah, don't worry about winning this game. It doesn't mean anything. No, it meant something to him.
You want to hear something crazy, Mick? We're in the press box. Mick's up in the press box, too. I'm not lying. Mickey, I'm not lying. Every time CeeDee Lamb caught the ball and went off the field, the PA or the press box PA announcer was saying CeeDee Lamb's hurt his shoulder. His return is unlikely.
No, he said he kept saying it was questionable.
Yeah, it was questionable.
And I'm going, no, he's out on the field.
Yeah, it was like, we're watching him out on the field. And he kept saying it was questionable. His return is questionable.
He's standing there.
I thought that point was funny what he said.
Yep.
But, you know, you couldn't drag him off the field. I mean, how much do you think that game meant to Cooper Rush? I mean, he's a free agent next year, right? He didn't get a chance to play all that much. He's a backup quarterback.
Did you see that Cooper Rush stat they put out there about the Heisman Trophy winners that he has beaten?
No, I did not.
He is the first quarterback in NFL history to beat 4 Heisman Trophy winners in like his first 10 starts. It's crazy. Because he beat Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Just go backwards. He beat all the Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow. I mean, no, he lost to Joe Burrow. Oh, yeah. But he beat Joe Burrow last year.
It was a couple years ago.
Whenever.
The 2022.
And he was talking about in his first 10 starts. Wow. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
That is impressive.
The Heisman killer.
That's what he is. Well, Mickey, thank you very much.
He should strike the Heisman pose.
We'll get back into the offensive line a little bit tomorrow, Mickey, as they did a pretty good job last night. We'll talk about it with you tomorrow, man. Thanks.
There's still a lot to talk about, even though there's nothing to gain. Right?
There you go. That's Mickey Spagnuolo, Dallas Cowboys insider right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get after it with him tomorrow. I did see this little note before we move on here. The Dodgers are going to pay $103 million in luxury tax. And that's like, oh, man, that's a lot of money for luxury tax. Three teams with a luxury tax bill exceeding $50 million. Nine owe at least $10 million. And the Rangers are one of them. They're over the luxury tax. Nobody cares about the luxury tax, it feels like, in Major League Baseball now. Unless they are like, well, we're trying to scale back this year.
Sure. Right.
But for the most part, it sounds like teams are like, we're blasting right through this thing.
Isn't
right
that 100, what is it, 109?
103 for the Dodgers.
Isn't that the A's salary? I mean, the whole payroll?
Yeah. And 97 for the Mets, 62 for the Yankees. Like, those are the teams that are in the competition to win it all. And it's just a weird thing where the MLB is like, we're setting it here, but rich teams, you can still continue to go and overspend if you want to. And those rich teams don't sound like they are deterred by any means. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the update on the basketball team you have all been waiting for, the Guangdong Dragons, next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up here in about 40 minutes, we'll have Stephen Jones joining us. That is the noon o'clock, top of the hour right there. We'll ask him about yesterday's game and plans for the future, and then we'll probably get into some Cowboys thank you notes. But before we do that, it is right now, and it's time to get into some AM on the FM with Alec Medford.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. We got the question of the day coming up here in just a moment. Plus, no chill from the Houston Rockets TV broadcast. We'll get to that here in just a moment. The Franklin Frankel.
Huh? Clarence Hill?
Oh, no, not
no the, chill?
Oh, chill. Yeah, I see what you did there. No.
That's his nickname, yeah.
You know, well, he was not on this broadcast, so technically that is true. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text on 877-881-1053 to answer today's question of the day. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. But this is one of those, like, personal anecdote questions because it hit me when I was maybe 15 minutes down the highway on the drive here to the studio for work today. I realized you guys bumped it all last week. I bought a new car from Platinum Chevrolet and I'm loving it. Everything is amazing. Everything's going perfect. But the one thing I encountered today that I did not realize, in my old car, I kept my microphone cover for when I do host in the back seat. So I always have it. If I forget it, I can just run downstairs and grab it. I haven't moved everything over to the new car yet. I have everything I need to like get from point A to point B, like a phone charger, a lint roller, and that's about it. So don't try to rob me. But I didn't put the mic cover in the car. So I realize I'm too far down the highway to turn around and go grab it. It's not that important. But as a producer myself, I know how irritating it can be when, you know, you hear the popping in the microphone and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes the microphones stink a little. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dang.
Not that they're bad microphones. Because of breath.
I actually love this model. The Rode microphones are really great and they sound beautiful. But yeah, they've seen better days. So I want to ask you guys, what is the one thing that no matter how long it's going to go on, you always forget it? 877-881-1053. That one thing that you always seem to forget no matter what, because this was even an issue when I decided to just leave it in my car I used to keep it in my backpack, but I started putting so much in the backpack that it's made of foam. It's going to get crushed and warped and ripped, you know, so I didn't want to keep it in there anymore. And so I kept leaving it in the car. But then I got in really good habit of taking it out of the car. And now it's just not in the car. So I'm still forgetting it, even with my new method. What's that one thing you always forget?
Corey's looking at me like, do you have anything? I really don't have anything because okay. And I have to blame my wife and kids. You know why?
She keeps up with everything?
No. They forget everything.
Oh, so you have to be the one.
I have to keep up with everybody's stuff. Have you seen my, oh, it's over there. Have you seen my, it's over there. And no matter who in my family can't find something, I have seen it. Or they think I've thrown it away. Because that's what I will do if it's still there for a while.
The one thing I always forget, my kids. Always, we just leave them at the mall or stuff like that.
No.
I'm just joking. Never lost any of the kids. No, yeah, we never lost any.
Think about that.
One, like, just left once. That was, he's actually done that multiple times. Adrian lost him at an aquarium once.
Oh, man.
And that was in, like, Georgia, too. So that was, I'm out of town. I'm in California. I'm in Oxnard. And she goes to Georgia with the kids, and they go to an aquarium. And then she's texting me, and she's like, I lost Carter. I'm like, I can't help. Right. There's no way for me to help you right now. I think
how long was he gone?
He was missing for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, that is nerve-wracking. And he was just at the top of the escalator. My charger for my laptop. Carter knows this. I always keep it in my backpack for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
If I get here and I don't have it, my laptop's going to eventually die.
Mm-hmm.
My kids will use this charger for all these different, charging their phone, charging, you know, their Switch. Maybe I shouldn't let them use it. Charging other electronics. And if it's not, I don't look in there because I don't think about it. So I've had to ask Carter multiple times if I could borrow his charger because we have the same.
Carter, Corey, that's why I'm Android and the rest of my family's Apple, because I don't want them stealing my charger.
That's not a bad idea at all.
I love greed when it's used in the right ways. Uh-huh. That's one of the right ways.
Hey, so you should use Apple. No. Your fault.
Before we get to James, I want to go to the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line from the 817. I do this as well, not very often, but I've done it more times than I'm willing to admit. I always forget my food on the table when I get a to-go box at restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
Infrequent, but I do. I do hate it whenever I do that.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, man, I really wanted that.
Yeah. It's usually for sit-down places, right? So it's like something that you paid a good amount of money for a lot of times, or it's something that you really enjoy, and then you get home and you're like, some stranger's either taking it or it got thrown away. Some dog in the back alley is going to love those fried pickles I left behind. Let's see. The power bank for my phone from the 972. I used to be religious about carrying like an external battery unit for like long car rides
just
or anything.
In case.
But now, like, most modern phones have such great batteries that I still own one, but I can't tell you the last time I used it.
I don't have a charger in my car anymore. Like the cable. I don't even have that. Huh. Just because I charge my phone at night and then I know it's going to be charged until I go to bed that night. So, and we learned yesterday, or was it Friday? Keep it between the iPhone between 20 and 80%. I learned this because I was like, no, let it die. And they were like, you idiot. That's not how lithium ion works. Right. So I learned that lesson, but I don't even have a charger in my phone anymore because the batteries are so damn good.
Let's see, from the 951, always forget sunscreen. As a fair-skinned fellow myself, I can say that is the worst thing, and I do it a lot.
Yeah.
Not great.
I'm always the one that they're like, you need to put sunscreen on, because I don't do it. And when I was a kid, I didn't do it, and so I'm not the fair-skinned one.
See, I'm a runner during the summertime, so I'm in the sun a lot, and I never use it. And then I get home and my dad's like, what in the world happened to you? And I'm like, what do you mean?
Red.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean? I feel fine.
You're a tomato.
And he was like, you are literally red. Like, what happened? You're as red as your hair. What happened? And I'm like, I went on a run. And he's like, and you didn't put anything on? I was like, nope. You know, just a pair of shorts, pair of running shoes. You didn't put sunscreen on? No, of course I didn't. Well, now you're going to pay the consequences. James, what's that one thing that you always forget?
You know, lately, and this is really just when I go to the gym, it's been either the water bottle or it's the headphones. One of the two. I'm always forgetting it. I'll pull out and then just what? Have I'll pull.
mark that.
Yeah, go ahead and mark that one down. Last piece of the week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
First entry.
And we're already starting off on a Monday. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I have to go back into the house, gentlemen.
Re-enter.
You have to re-enter and, you know, just have to go get one of those two things that I've forgotten. So that's today. Luckily got the water. Didn't need the AirPods.
Nice. I do that a lot. When I get to the gym, I'll just get out of the car and start walking in and then be like,
yeah. Don't you think earbuds? It's the worst feeling when you don't have the headphones? Then you have to listen to people work out.
Yes. You have to listen to that and then the awful generic like pop playlist that most gyms have on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, it's the same Sabrina Carpenter song five times every 25 minutes.
She's popular.
Which I love her. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I just want it to change.
I want
something
music.
Different. Yes. I want my playlist. If I'm not toloing, I want my music. Okay? Like, I don't want any of this that's geared towards high schoolers.
You're telling me Sabrina Carpenter doesn't get you going in the gym?
Mm-mm. You don't have
I mean, it depends on the mood. I mean, sometimes espresso can get me going.
You saying you don't love the sound of the treadmill? Just
no, it's the most irritating thing. Like, I already hate treadmills because I hate seeing the same thing over and over again when I'm on a run. I hate hearing the same thing over and over again, too. So, no, I can't. I have the AirPods, so I've got the noise cancellation. Yep. I don't have to hear the ambiance. I am just in my own world. And sometimes, you know, that could be a really good thing, but then sometimes it could be a really bad thing because maybe somebody decided to bench behind you and they don't have a spotter and they're back there fighting for their life with 135 on the bar and you're like, well, I don't know that's happening behind me, so I can't help.
The 469 says they keep forgetting the closer and the dryer. There's only one thing worse.
That's me.
Happened to me a lot, too.
I get that.
There's only one thing worse because I like to hang my clothes up while they're hot so that I don't have to iron them.
Mm-hmm, me, too.
But the one thing that's worse than forgetting the clothes in the dryer, forgetting the clothes are in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Stinks.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
They sour up.
You got to do it again.
Got to rewash them. That happened to me like 2 weeks ago. It was actually, I think it was before, it might have been before the Martin House Christmas party. I think that happened the night before. I totally forgot about, I had like my entire closet in the washer.
Oh,
I woke up and I was like, I never got them out.
Oh, no.
So I need to wake up right now. I need to go rewash those so they don't stink.
Put some more Tide Pods in and turn it on.
Yeah, that was the worst thing ever. So keep those coming in. Your number one thing that you always forget, 877-881-1053.
I keep forgetting I'm not in love anymore.
I do want to go to Houston. I don't like going there often. I've only been there a few times, and it stinks, and it's hot. And I'm sorry, Reggie, but no, it's not a great city. But
oh, wow.
Shots fired.
Look, man, it's okay.
No, it's not.
We
it's
all
not
say
okay.
that about that city.
Yeah, we do. For good reason, because it's true. We only tell the truth here on the KNC Masterpiece. I actually do want to give them their flowers. So, yesterday, the Rockets played the Raptors, and they beat them 114-110. And there's some important context to this, but I'm going to give it to you after I run the clip of the final call on Rockets TV. This is Craig Ackerman closing out the game after a victory over the Raptors. He says they're victorious over the Guangdong Dragons.
I heard that too, and I was like, what is that team?
One, I'm just like, that's insane to call a like professional NBA team the Guangdong Dragons. So I'm like, there's got to be some context to this, right?
Yes, because I have no clue what that
a
is.
A raptor looks like a dragon?
So if you go to @ChampagnePoppy on Instagram, that's Drake. His Instagram, which he's a Houston native now. He lives down there.
He lives down there and he lives in Toronto.
But he's from the Six. He's from Toronto.
Six God.
He posted a picture of him and Fred VanVleet, who plays for the Houston Rockets.
And used to play for the Raptors.
And the caption says, "My lookalike, the love is forever. Thank you for your character and your contributions over the years with the city. The city will never forget, good luck with everything on the Guangdong Dragons. I mean the Rockets." This is back when he signed with the Rockets. And Fred VanVleet responded, he commented on that post and just said, "Relax." So it looks like the TV crew and maybe even the locker room remembered that Drake months ago called them the Guangdong Dragons on Instagram when
that
his boy, Fred VanVleet, left the Raptors and signed with the Houston Rockets. So I got to tip my cap to the Houston Rockets TV crew. That's just amazing work.
Yeah. The only thing that could have made it better, dun, 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 in the background. Dun, 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 dun.
So, and this was around the same time that he was in his feud with
Kendrick Lamar, yeah.
K-Dot.
Yeah.
So, around that same time, he's deciding, I'm going to...
Oh, yeah.
And he shouldn't be doing that because he lives in Houston a lot. Or he's down in Houston a lot. Well, he got a ranch down there now.
I mean, it's smart. He's trying to deflect the attention away from the accusations made by one Kendrick Lamar and the fact that he was getting absolutely eviscerated in said beef, if you will. So, yeah. I mean... It is what goes around comes around, I guess. And, you know, that's what good broadcasters do. And I just love when people are petty. I love the petty Homer broadcast. I love that. I love when Brad Sham takes jabs at stuff like that during Cowboy games or he just
knows they know they know.
Yeah, he pulls, you know, jokes or references from stories that happened 15 years ago. Eric Nadell does the same thing on the Ranger broadcast. Jared Sanor's very good at it. Like, I just love when the home team broadcast has something smart to say every single time. It's just great broadcasting. So there you go. That's my time.
That is great stuff from Alec Medford, AM on the FM, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some gridiron gravy. Next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys get a victory last night, and it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
That felt so weird.
Gridiron gravy.
It's not you.
Yes.
Brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your house? I love Rhino Shield.
Me too.
We start with Brandon Aubrey, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Aubrey had 3 field goals from 50-plus yards last night. That is 14 made field goals from 50-plus yards in 2024. That passes Kai Fairbairn. Fairbairn?
Fairbairn. Fairbairn.
Who had 13 last year for the most that was this year. 50-yard field goals in a single season. So who will finish with the most at the end of this year? Will it be Fairbairn or will it be Brandon Aubrey? We will continue to track
butter
that as an important statistic.
I'm going with butter.
When you see them get to the 50-yard line, do you just go?
Oh, you already know.
Yeah.
The announcers seem to all be like, yeah, they can kick it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I seriously believe if they make it to the 50, it would be, 67 yards? I'm fine with that. I really am.
I'm going to say something blasphemous. I think he might be better than Dan Bailey.
That's, you know what? I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some moments of some lapses this year.
Yeah.
But I think those lapses have been mostly because of competitiveness within the organization. And I think he was just like, eh. And then he missed a few. I don't think, like, when it matters. Last night he made it. Those were some beautiful kicks.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, how often that changes your approach as a coordinator when you're just like, all right, we've made it close enough. And do we need 7? Do we need to be a little more risky? And I feel like the Dan Campbells aren't risky aren't answering that question with a no.
Totally agree.
They're like, we're going for it.
I hope it doesn't change anything. I want you to still play to move the chains and get first downs and then touchdowns thereafter. But I want that to be a security blanket where it says, look, you know, especially like first quarter, let's say, like we have a chance to score here. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world that on 3rd and 7, we got 4 yards. You know, I want them to think like that. Like we had routes going downfield. We had an idea to get 14, 15 yards. It just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I want that to be the case. Please don't get too comfortable in the fact that, oh, we're at midfield. Let's just go and run. Rico, go ahead. A-gap. You got it.
Micah Parsons also gets his 50th sack, becoming the 6th NFL player since 1982 when they started to register sacks, by the way. That was a year after I was born. With at least 50 sacks in his first 4 seasons, joining these names, Reggie White, Derek Thomas, J.J. Watt, and DeMarcus Ware and Dwight Freeney. All legends in their own right, each one of them. So that's where Micah Parsons is. If people are like, hey, I want to move on from Micah Parsons, that is the type of player that you are moving on from. And I don't think, most of those guys, they were going to be with their team for the long haul. Actually, Reggie White did go to another team.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Derek Thomas passed away.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Watt went to another team. Mm-hmm. Ware went to another team. And Freeney, at the end of his career, went somewhere else.
What are you doing right now?
But not in the prime.
Not in their
career.
Prime, though.
It was always on the backside.
Yeah, not in their prime.
But put it like this, Micah is aware. And I think when I say he's aware, after the game, somebody told him that he, you know, I think it was Pat Doney mentioned that you got those 50 sacks. And he said, you know what? But if you want to be in the Hall of Fame, you got to get 100. He says there's a lot more work to do. And he said all the right things. I think this point in his career, more people are believing he's more like a leader than when he said, I want to be a leader, but he wasn't really getting it done.
He wasn't there yet.
Yeah, I think he's actually saying the right things. He's totally bought into what Zimmer's doing. In fact, I heard that Zim named a horse after Micah.
Really?
What? He bought some horses.
He named it the Lion.
He named it
Micah. That horse is a lion.
Or he asked Micah to name it or something. They became that
That's
close.
Not true.
I got to find this. I'll be back.
A horse is a lion.
Well, some lions are. What?
That just altered my brain.
Well, horses can't lie. They have to stand up. They're not lying around.
So that is nice to see. Yeah, it does look like he did. He did no horsing around inside Micah Parsons and Mike Zimmer's new Cowboys relationship.
I hate that.
Mike Parsons revealed how his relationship with Zimmer started blossoming quickly. Yeah, there was. That's fascinating.
Yep,
that is fascinating.
Did Kevin Hagelin write that headline?
Kevin loves headlines, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The Ravens over the weekend clinched their third straight playoff berth, stopped the Steelers from sewing up that division. That's been that's the interesting division right now for sure.
Yeah, they could never beat them, though.
Yeah, and then Cincinnati is kind of on a run to get back into it, too. So now you got three teams vying for playoff spots.
You mentioned Cincinnati. I got to say this one thing. I've always loved Joe Burrow. LSU days on. That touchdown pass he threw.
The T. Higgins?
Yes!
Superman pass?
Yes! That's just like, damn. I mean, I've always liked Joe Burrow, and he's had him in a hell of a year. Don't let them sneak into the playoffs. Make him the MVP.
Yeah. In addition to that pass was the one, and I think it was tight end, he made the pass where he was avoiding people and then just...
Oh, my God.
But the great thing about it, that flip was a perfect spiral.
Yes.
Like, that was a perfect spiral flip to just get the ball out of my hand.
In traffic.
It's impressive, man. Joe Burrow just does that, though. That's just what he continues to do.
And you know what? He looks just like Home Alone.
He does.
He just does.
He definitely
He looks like
does.
Macaulay Culkin. With an athlete's body.
Another play that stuck out over the weekend was from the Detroit Lions.
Oh, my God.
Ben Johnson, who... Man. Again, I swear by this because this is the conversation I want to have when it comes to Ben Johnson as a head coach. If he's going to have the same mentality as Dan Campbell has as a head coach, bring me Ben Johnson. I have no clue how he's going to be a head coach. I know how he is a coordinator. His head coach gives him freedom. His head coach says, be aggressive, be aggressive. And he does it. And they went out there and they made what it looks like the stumble touchdown is that what we're going to call it?
Yeah.
He said it started on Monday with Ben Johnson asking me if I thought I could actually fumble on purpose. This is Jared Goff and pick it back up. And I was like, I don't know about that. And we kind of got off that pretty quickly, but it was a moment. They had seen the play. The Packers accidentally fumbled the ball and Jordan Love was able to turn around, see everything open and hit a guy downfield for a touchdown. And they said, that's awesome. Let's do that too, but let's create our own version of it. And then there's Jahmyr Gibbs, who did a somersault on the ground, and that was hilarious.
Yeah,
because it looks like he wasn't going after a football, but he just rolls around. And then Jared Goff does a great sell by Jared Goff, and they get a touchdown off of it. And that's the kind of creativity that everybody's begging for.
You gotta have it nowadays, man.
It's ridiculous, one, because it almost feels wrong. It almost feels like something you shouldn't be able to do, but there's nothing that says you can't. It just feels that way. But two, the way it worked, like it probably wouldn't translate super well over radio. You'd have to really listen in. But if you watch the TV copy, you can hear the entire defense yelling, fumble! And everybody, that's why the secondary let up. They kind of stood still because they thought the ball was on the ground, and that's what allows Laporta to just kind of slip past on the boundary, and there's nobody within his zip code. It's amazing that they all just screamed fumble, and the D-line starts swarming to a non-existent football. It's crazy. Like,
It worked.
It makes me flustered just thinking about how creative it is and the lack of creativity that you might have around here.
You know, the thing about it, like with all the misdirection that offenses are already putting
on,
you're talking about what Mike Zimmer's doing defensively on that side, but all the misdirection that comes from the Shanahan offenses and the McVays, all these things, as a defensive player, you're already kind of spun that way. And then your eyes completely lied to you on a play where you're like, no, I saw the fumble. And you're like, oh, crap. That's just got to feel like the worst thing. Because then you're going back to the huddle. You're going back to the sideline. You're just like, I saw it. What do I do in this? They tricked me. They tricked my eyes. And you just can't trust yourself from there.
Put it like this. There's so many little bitty things that you can pick up. And we talk about tape. You remember, I guess it was a couple of games ago, where the punter for the Cowboys, what's his name?
Anger
tried to pass the ball, and it was a short. It was a completed pass. It was short. And the guy who called the play was the guy who caught the ball. He called the play. Well, Houston Texans secondary guys were saying, or the special teams guys were saying, we knew that play was going to come because we saw Anger nod his head.
Yes. Yes.
That one little thing. Because they said that we had already know that they know if they see something. So we switched our look at the last second. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was a short pass instead of a long game.
That was right here from the 940. This is another little thing, CA. The entire Lions sideline was yelling ball.
Oh, yeah. They sold the whole thing. Isn't that wild?
So even like the whole, they had to tell the whole team, hey, we're going to run this stupid play. And we need y'all to help us sell it to the other guys.
It reminds me of just like Dan Campbell allows this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why last year at this time, he was so mad when the refs messed up their trick play with the offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Cowboys game? And he lost his mind because they said, this offensive lineman is not eligible. They had a trick play ready.
Yeah. In high school, I did have the call. When the coach gave me the cheek was the signal that whatever's next is about to be
canceled.
A play.
So oh, whatever. Play, okay.
And I'm at first base.
Oh, okay.
Get my lead off, and he gets the cheek, and then he gives me the hand just goes like this. And I said, no, coach, run that back again. I think you messed up. And he did it again, and I went, son of a B. And I had some stolen bases already, so I knew. And as soon as the pitcher lifted his leg, I broke for second base. And tripped on my face. I had 22 stolen bases my senior year.
Well,
tripped and fell on my face. I was leading the district. Fell on my face, and I'm laying on the ground. And I look up, pitcher turns around and throws to first base. Immediately, the guy at third base for us breaks home, and I'm laying there. We get the winning run, but I look like a fool that tripped over himself going to second base. But we win the game because of the play that was called, which was fall over on your face, you dummy. And everybody had to sell it too. All the whole dugout's like, oh my gosh. And everybody's like, ah,
right. He's running.
It's beautiful.
The game tonight, Packers and Saints, is going to be, it's going to be very below freezing, obviously, because it's cold up there. Spencer Rattler. Yeah, probably so. I kind of need it to be. I need the Packers defense to get lots of points. Spencer Rattler, however, said that they have prepared in an unusual way. He said this morning we went into the cafeteria freezer where it was like 10 degrees, and we're just going to go through the whole script in there and just doing things like that. So hopefully it's not 10 degrees, but we're going to be ready for the cold.
Huh. He ain't ready for that. He grew up in Arizona. He ain't ready for that.
You get up into that kind of cold, it is completely, completely different.